Good morning.
Wow, it's loud. Hoe gaan dit? Lekker. Wag net 'n paar minute. Sjoe. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this morning and what I should say and what I should do, and the Lord is very kind and gracious in when we choose to follow and submit and obey and bring the little bit that we have. Then he comes and then he starts to reveal and speak and confirm things. And it helps a lot. It helps me a lot. The scripture that Harry just prayed over me is one of the first prophetic words that was ever given to me. I was a Christian for a few short months, and one of the things the Lord did was he made me fast 40 days or 42 days, no food. And that experience completely changed the way I looked at the world. Because what he showed me in that fast was that I can go without food for a very long time and wake up full of a power that is not my own. It does something in you when you wake up and you know, like, should actually be dead, but you're not dead. You wake up full of life, full of joy, full of energy, full of peace, connected, seeing, hearing, knowing, understanding, experiencing God's presence. And that scripture was given to me by the person who actually did my deliverance and set me free. And that, it's still September, 12 September 2010 is when I gave my life to Jesus. A few short months later, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, set free. And from then until now, for 14 and a half years, I've seen God's power with my own eyes, seeing people come to freedom, seeing demons leave, seeing the sick healed, seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit, seeing gifts, all of these things. I'm not saying I did all of those things, but I've seen the evidence of these things, the reality of them. And the last two opportunities, last week I went to Musenberg, preached a short little word, and we prayed and we saw God's power pour out in that meeting. Lots of people got delivered, lots of people got touched, and there was a real, you can say there was a sense of God's presence. And the previous time, about a month ago, we went to City Bowl with the other community, and exactly the same thing, shared a word, shared a bit of testimony, and prayed, and God's power filled that room. And we saw evidence that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. So a first-time visitor that has never been in the church go probably through the most powerful deliverance I've seen. Are there any visitors here? I don't want to scare. So the collision of two kingdoms, the collision of two worlds. People that were there that didn't know me, didn't know anything about me, just came to church, visited a congregation. God's power was there in an amazing way. It makes me wonder where we're going to end today. But I want to say this. We've sung songs and we've had words and shared scriptures. We live in a world, in an age and in a spirit of an age that says everything is acceptable. Okay? Everybody is together. Okay? Whatever you choose as your truth, that can be your truth. And you can live and express yourself and your truth in any way that you want, okay? And it's acceptable. We are forced to accept whatever people present, because that is their truth. And we'd have no right to challenge or question or reject or dismiss another person's truth. I want to say this morning, that's bull. Because there is a line that's drawn in the sand. That line was drawn in the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to earth and he bled and died. That line is there. That line, it separates. Amen. It will turn or separate parent from their child, a brother from their brother. It separates two kingdoms. And I don't care what you think or what you think you believe or how much you've studied or what type of revelation you have received. The truth is that there is that line. And that line, it's there. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, whether we accept it, whether we reject it, it's there. I love Harry's little stories. I chose the fence. And the devil said, well, the fence belongs to me. Because you're either in or you're out. What I wanted to say is, this morning we are here in the most amazing place, in the most wonderful place on the earth. But this place is the most difficult place as well. Why do I say that? Because God's word is coming to us all the time. The Spirit of God is speaking to us. Jesus is speaking to us. And what does his word do? It brings us to that line. Will we bow and worship him or not? Last week, during the prayer meeting, I saw a vision of a wonderful oasis in the desert with the trees and shade and a beautiful crystal clear pool of life-giving water. And we're in the oasis. We're sitting by the tree. We are enjoying the shade and the benefits of that place. But that life-giving water is right there. And some of us are in the proximity, we have the benefit, we are enjoying. But actually, we are not drinking that water. We are desperate in our situations and in our circumstances for the breakthrough of God and the provision of God and the help of God and the presence of God. But yet that water is right here and we are not actually drinking of it. Amen. It's got nothing to do with my preach, but there it is. There's a fear that I have for us as the people of God and as His church, that we are here so often that we see so much that it actually loses its power, it loses its meaning. We are so arrogant that we will say, well, this is more important than that. It's all coming from heaven. We have no right to choose what's more important. It's all important. Amen. God's word is going to come to us this morning, and it's going to draw those lines. And after this short message, there's going to be a time when we are going to come before the Lord. Amen. I believe we will see evidence of Isaiah 61 here, that the Spirit of the Lord is here to bring good news to the poor, to set at liberty the oppressed, to open prison doors, to open the eyes of the blind. We read and hear and see these things so often that they lose their meaning, they lose their power. For God loved us so much that He gave His only Son, to whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. God sent Jesus, bled and died, and drew that line that anyone can come, no matter how rotten, no matter how broken, no matter how wretched or perverted or twisted, it doesn't matter. We can all come. Freely we can come. That is the potential and that is the invitation to any person here. You can come, receive mercy, receive forgiveness for your sins. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Be changed and transformed. And this John 3 verse 19, it's probably the main scripture this morning. This is the judgment, okay, that light came into the world and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because they were evil. Amen. What this is saying, this is God brings us to that place of the light and the kingdom and Jesus. And we, something in our broken nature rejects those things. It rejects, it turns away, it flees. This is the judgment that true light has come. We reject the light, we run away from it, we choose darkness over light, and even worse, we try to have the best of both. I didn't finish my note there. I could fill it in. The best of both, the benefits of Jesus, the privileges of his kingdom, and the lusts and the passions of the world. But there's that line that separates. And when we indulge those things, those passions and those temptations, that line, it causes us to shrink back and turn away and hide away from the light. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. And this is our nature. We do things, and when the light of Jesus shines on us, or we come near people or are full of his presence or full of his light, then we hide away. We can sit right here and hide away by just putting on the holy countenance, using the holy words, using the holy hug. But we are not walking in his light. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So we love the light, we run to the light, we turn to the light. We realize that line means that we have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We have been accepted in the beloved of Jesus. So we can bring those things. Not fear condemnation, not fear rejection, not fear judgment. But we bring them so that we can be free. Jesus is the most controversial person in existence. I mean, I can arrange an interfaith rally and have ambassadors from every religion in the world together, and we will agree that there's a spiritual realm and a spirit within us and higher powers and an afterlife and all of these things. They'll all agree. We can even use the word God. We can all agree that there is a God, a creator God even. But let me start to use the name of Jesus. Then you will see that line. You'll be hated for his name, rejected for his name. People will lie about you. Because that separation is there. Amen. First Peter 1:3 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept for you in heaven, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If you are really here, if your heart is really his, if his spirit is really in you, it says that he is keeping your inheritance. And while you are here, his power will keep you, sustain you, guide you, provide for you, empower you, strengthen you, encourage you, and comfort you until you stand before Him face to face. The normal Christian life is a supernatural life. It's a powerful life. We are saved by His power. We are changed by His power. We are kept by His power. Amen. But yet, our experience is often not that. We are weak and discouraged and tired and weary and offended and broken and living in the flesh. But I think the Lord wants to encourage us this morning. We need His encouragement. We need His power. We need His Holy Spirit. We need Jesus every single day. We need Him more than we even understand. In this, little children, rejoice, though now. Say now. For a little while. If necessary, you will be grieved by some trials, so that your faith can be tested. And that faith, it's more precious than gold that perishes. Real faith, it gets tested. But true faith, it stands the test. Amen. It's not crushed, it's not destroyed. If your faith does not stand through the trial and the test, then it's not real. Okay? Then it's an intellectual belief system. Doesn't have the juice to get us through. Though you have not seen Him, and I don't know if anybody here has seen Jesus, I haven't seen Him. Okay? Usually, we don't see Him, but though we do not see Him, we love Him. And though we do not now see Him, we believe in Him and we rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We're sitting here in a response to a King who bled and died to save us and deliver us and give us eternal life. And so that line is always there. It always separates. It always challenges. It always provokes us. It scares me. But it brings us to a place of response. It always brings us to a place of response. You will not see an altar call in the Bible. Okay? So why do we do them all the time? Because we see that principle of responding to God and then Him meeting with us. You humble yourself before Him. You come to Him, and then He meets with us. Life gets changed. The chains get broken. The oppressed go free. Gives us beauty for ashes. But the enemy that we have, and our own flesh, and our sin that makes us hide in the dark, it restricts us and prevents us from actually coming to Him. And the danger that we have is that we get so accustomed to all of this that we actually just hear the words, sing the songs, see evidence, and actually we don't even respond anymore. I had somebody say this once, that even miracles can lead to a hardened heart and a calloused heart. And it's true. Oh, wonderful, another healing. Only one healing today. Or only this, or only that. We only had a few words this morning. These things are precious and special and wonderful and amazing and supernatural. We should be thankful. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings in Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. If that scripture is true, and I'm really here with the elders and the leaders and those bringing the word, if that's really true, it means that we are preaching a message from heaven to you through the Holy Spirit. But do we hear a message from heaven, or do we just hear, Martin was rough again, or using hard words? Do we hear the Lord speaking to us? And He's gracious because He's pulling little lines for each one of us all the time. Those lines, when we come to that threshold of obeying and submitting, then we get a breakthrough. We grow and learn and we mature and we go from one degree of glory to the next. We need to be active. We need to take action. Continue verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He called you is holy, you also should be holy in all your conduct, since it's written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to one man's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. Amen. You see it? You see that line there? He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincerely brotherly love, love one another. Love one another. Earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that we preach to you. Can I have some music, please? Set the mood. It comes over so hard, right? So challenging. It's not even my words. I'm just reading the Bible to us. I really believe that God wants to do something here this morning. And what Rian took 2 weeks speaking to us about how our believing and how our living is connected. Amen. We don't just want to give you words. We want to see the Word of God bear fruit in our hearts, change lives, transform people. And so, in a sense, I don't even have a title, but there should be a call to action. What do we do now? What do we do with all of this that we hear? What do we do with what we see? What do we do with this revelation that is coming to us all the time, that Jesus Christ is alive and that we see evidence of that truth here? I appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I appeal to you, to every one of you here, to not receive His grace in vain. For God says, in a favorable time, I listen to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. It means we need to be able to endure. We will be afflicted. We will experience hardships, calamities, says beatings, imprisonment, and riots. Seen some riots there in Khayelitsha. Labors, sleepless nights, hunger sometimes. But by purity and knowledge and patience and kindness and the power of Holy Spirit, genuine love. Maybe we can stand. By truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are sometimes labeled as imposters, yet we are true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We spoke freely to you, and our hearts are wide open. You are not restricted by us, the scripture says. We are not here to put laws on you. We are here to reveal Jesus to you, to to reveal His word to you, to show you His ways, and to bring you to a place of response, because that line is there in the sand. The line is drawn there in His blood. And each man will choose this day who they will serve. Amen. Going to be vulnerable here this morning. I didn't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. God changed my life when I yielded to Jesus. He changed everything for me. Gave me a new life here in Cape Town. Life of freedom, life of peace, of joy, of hundreds of people that know me and encourage me and love me and my family, a wife and a beautiful family, wonderful in-law family, things I never had, Jesus gave me. My life here is different than my life used to be before I came to Cape Town. And I had the opportunity to bring my mother here, who has never experienced this life that we live here. We get so accustomed to it that we actually take it for granted. We don't realize how special it is. My mother was here for 6 months, living in our home, being exposed to our family, seeing this fellowship, worship, people encountering God, the pressures and the challenges and everything that goes with walking with Jesus, and that light that shines on everything. It was too much for her. This life is like a fragrance of death to her, because it continually was bringing her to that line in the sand. And she could not submit, so she rather left, because it was too much. In the same way, we will all we are brought to that place. Who is Jesus really to us? Amen. I don't know how to transition from here, but I believe there's a place that we need to respond to the Lord. Amen. We want to pray for everybody that needs prayer. So it's only me and Harry. And so all other leaders are released to pray. Okay. Everybody needs prayer. We will pray for everybody that needs prayer as much as you need. And I'm trusting that God's power is going to work here this morning. Amen. But we have to make that decision to engage with Him. Okay? There's a line again. We've heard the word. Now there's going to be a time of response. So we will either come to the light or we will shrink back. Okay? Those who come to the light will meet with the Lord. Those who shrink back, we can do anything, but we see that principle of coming to Him. I don't know how these fit in, but in worship I got a few words. God gives words of knowledge, supernatural insight. I didn't think them up. I didn't spend any time on this beforehand. I just knelt down here because we said we need to bow the scriptures, bow before Him, bow. And I bowed, and then some words came. If any of these are accurate for you, they're not coming from me. Amen. And what you do and how you respond is up to you. The Lord said to me that some families here are being torn apart. Harry, kom staan hier voor sommetyd. Some of our families are being torn apart. I don't know who that is, but I want to say like there's help. Don't allow the enemy to destroy him. The Lord works with rhymes with me sometimes. Some of our families are being torn apart, but some of us here have rebellion in our hearts. I've learned a long time ago not to try and interpret. So I heard the word ping pong balls. So that relates to like table tennis. And I think I saw a little boy and somebody's got a lingering problem due to a broken leg. I think it's pain. I believe it was the right leg. If any of this is accurate and you feel to respond, you can just come to the front so that we can pray for you. I saw somebody playing with casino chips in their hands. I don't know if you've ever watched when the people play poker, they like turn the chips over in their hands like that. I saw a picture of that. Somebody here is still smoking drugs. Encourage you to stop that. This is the last word. There was somebody here whose father never attended the rugby games in school, or hardly ever attended. And that relates to there was a sense of encouragement that you needed that you never got. Your father was never there when you did sport, so you never got the encouragement that you needed. And now you are failing or struggling or unable to give the encouragement to your own children, wife, and family. The reason why the Lord gives the words is so that He wants to touch those lives. He wants to bring freedom, break the chains, do all of these things. So we're going to pray for God's Holy Spirit to move here this morning, and I want to ask, there are different things here this morning, but we want to pray for everybody that needs prayer. If you want to respond to one of those words of knowledge, if you need prayer for anything, If you want to just respond to Jesus, if you want to bring something into the light here, if you want to be filled with God's power to keep you, thank you, Lord. Father, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We started this service or the sermon, Lord, with Isaiah 61, saying the Spirit of the Lord God is here. He's upon us because we have been anointed. Jesus has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to set at liberty the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor, recovery of sight to the blind, and the opening of prison doors in the name of Jesus. And right now, I pray for the oppressed to be set at liberty, to break the chains that bind your people in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for every prison door to open and for the captives to be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.